The government's given us the first real look at what to expect from next year's budget. So are you going to get any tax breaks, and where will the focus be from the financial ministers? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and don't forget to subscribe wherever it is you're listening. Some exciting news this week. We are taking Let Me Explain on the road for our first ever live show. We're going to be at the Bauer Media Stage at All Together Now, back in my home county of Waterford next week, with a very special live show to kick off a busy weekend at the festival. So if you're heading down to All Together Now, bring your pre-drinks, come along, join us. Let's be honest, you're probably going to be pre-drinking from like 10 in the morning when you've set up your tent in the what's hopefully not going to be mud and clod and everything else that comes with the rain. Hopefully we're going to get a really dry and lovely weekend, but you can join us for what's going to be a really fun live pod. I'll be telling you all about it next week, but we will essentially be celebrating all things Waterford, a bit of Let Me Explain history with our first live show. So really looking forward to that. Now down to brass tacks. So this week, the government launched two pretty important documents. Most of the oxygen was taken up by the revised National Development Plan, which allocates in the region of 275 billion euro out for the next decade on capital projects. The other was the Summer Economic Statement, which is the document which usually gives us a very good idea of what the coalition plans to do in the budget. But this year, of course, it's a very different. In less than 10 days' time, there will either be a deal on trade between the US and the EU, or there won't be, which makes budget planning very hard to do. It sort of reminds me of the Brexit times. Will there be a deal or no deal scenario? What's going to happen? We don't really know yet. So this summer economic statement has been quite different to previous ones. Usually, this is one of the last major signposts before the budget, and they have a figure for how much new spending there's going to be. You might remember this as the dreaded fiscal space that Michael Noonan was overly fond of talking about. It. The way it works is that you get a figure for the budget package. It's going to be 9.4 billion euro, they're saying, in 2026. Then there's a tax cuts package within that, in this case, 1.5 billion euro for next year. So that leaves you with 7.9 billion euro for new spending. Now, about 2 billion of that is capital, so infrastructure, buildings, roads, etc. So take that away, and you have a package of 5.9 billion. Then you have to take more money out of that, because you have to factor in the cost of standing still, doing everything the government did this year, but doing it again next year when it's going to be more expensive because of inflation. Usually other things factor into that, public sector pay, pre-committed extra spending, whatever you have. So you calculate how much that is going to be, subtract it from your 5.9 billion, and that gives you the figure for how much there is for new projects or initiatives, your fiscal space. The problem is that this year, rather unusually, Jack Chambers says they haven't worked out that figure yet. So we don't actually know how much new cash ministers will be able to spend. The summer economic statement also usually contains forecasts for the next few years beyond 2026. Again, they haven't done that this year because they think things are just too volatile, and that there frankly isn't much point until we know the tariff situation. So going in, I was expecting the Department of Finance to have run a number of scenarios based on what they could spend if there are no tariffs, if there's 10% tariffs or 30% tariffs. That's not what they did. Here is my exchange with the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, from that press conference, and apologies for the slightly poppy mic on my questions.
Just having a quick read through there and tell me this is wrong, but it looks as though the statement has been prepared on a basis of 10% tariffs between the US and the EU. We obviously don't know if that's going to be the case yet, and we won't know for a couple of weeks. If we do get, have you forecasted the 30% scenario? And how different does that look to this document?
So we are considering a number of different scenarios regarding what could happen to trade between the US and the EU. And on Budget Day, not only will we publish our estimate regarding what we believe is the most likely outcome for 2026, if it's appropriate at that point, we'll also publish a number of different alternatives. But the summer economic statement that Jack and I are publishing today does make clear that we are going to assess where we are in our budgetary planning, particularly when we come into September, to ensure that the framework that we are publishing here today remains appropriate. And he and I are very firmly committed to this. What we have published today, we believe, is the most appropriate response back to what we know at the moment. We want to protect capital investment. That is our key spending priority. And we will, as we move into September, assess where we are with everything else again, given what could happen across August with regard to trade.
They're based on 10%. Is that fair to say?
No, the figures that are published today are based on a no-tariff scenario.
Okay.
In the annual progress report, we published an alternative scenario, which did have a 10% tariff permanently in place. And that is why I just want to emphasise again, depending on what happens in the next few weeks, we will reassess where we are with the summer economic statement, excluding the capital commitment we have to recommit to what is the appropriate level of spend for next year.
It's not very unlikely that there will be no tariffs, and therefore, I mean, why should we put any stock in really the figures we've gotten today?
Because particularly when it comes to public capital investment, we have to outline how we're going to invest in our economy. What we have done is published a growth outlook that was in line with what we believed was a credible scenario earlier on in the year. We've also said that were tariffs to have an effect, we believe the effect on our growth would take some time to develop. We said the impact on our public finances would happen earlier. But we are publishing our economic statement in line with the economic forecast that we've done in April. We always do economic forecast twice a year, in April and on Budget Day. And as we approach the budget again, we'll reassess the Budget Day package to decide whether it's still appropriate.
So the figures we were presented with are best case scenario numbers, and no one thinks we will get that best case scenario. Ministers are preparing for something in the region of 10 to 15% tariffs. Speaking to people in government since that press conference, they actually don't believe the figures announced the other day will change massively if it is a 10% tariff. But if it's above 15, then things start to look a little ropey. And we're going to hear shortly about the EU countermeasures. Should those tariffs come into place, that could push it even higher again. And I suppose that begs the question, what if things do go wrong with the US? Like if Ireland is suddenly thrown into a recession or something like it, can any of the figures in the National Development Plan or the Summer Economic Statement be trusted? Well, the Taoiseach and ministers were asked about, you know, if that happens, what do they prioritise? Unsurprisingly, they didn't really get into it, but Micheál Martin did signal a shift in his focus when compared to the last recession.
There's an old saying in hurling that the mushroom fades but cork never. Okay, so we'll be back to, and you guys are now on the pedestal. We're now the underdogs going forward. Now, where was I? Yeah, on an economic slowdown. I think our key message today is, notwithstanding the economic slowdown, if one was to come, and a lot depends on where the tariffs land, and that negotiation isn't over yet. And it's a tense negotiation, it's a difficult and challenging negotiation between the European Union and the United States. And it is one that is causing a lot of concern. We have factored in as much as we possibly can various scenarios. But what we're absolutely determined to do, as best we can, is safeguard the capital side of the budget over the next number of years. We don't anticipate having to borrow, but we're ruling nothing out. But we do need the investment community, and particularly the international investment community, particularly in terms of a metro project of that scale, they need to realise that we're going the full distance on the capital. We will take, you know, measures if we have to, obviously, to meet the impacts of tariffs. But we are very clearly signalling that, unlike previous times, we want to protect the capital side of the equation.
Essentially, what they're saying is the global financial crisis led to a massive infrastructure deficit. We stopped building houses and roads and schools and other projects, and we are now paying the price for that. So if shocks do come, that will be prioritised over giving help to people with their bills, etc. The last thing to be cut will be the capital budget, and it might not even be cut because the government might choose to borrow money instead. This is the sacred cow, the money they're going to spend on capital investment. And that sort of brings me on to the next tax point in terms of what to expect for your pocket. You might remember a promise in the election from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that they would cut the VAT rate for the hospitality sector from 13.5% to 9% in the upcoming budget. And yesterday, we got the estimated cost of that. And keep in mind, the entire budget for tax cuts in 2026 is forecast to be 1.5 billion euro.
So overall, firstly, in relation to taxation on the VAT for the hospitality sector, I have always made clear that it is my intention to, with regard to that, and that's laid out very clearly in the programme for government. But I've also said there are trade-offs and there are consequences of that. There are therefore other things that we are not going to do. We have brought forward the taxation package here today that is broadly in line with the revenue that is generated by wage growth within our economy. So the tax package itself is one that is using resources that wage growth within our economy would generate. And we have not grown beyond that, just because we have not done that in recent years. So making a decision on the VAT and hospitality will therefore affect other things that we do within those parameters, because it would not be appropriate to grow those parameters at this point. In relation to the full year effect of a VAT move on hospitality, food and accommodation, it would be between 950 million and a billion euro.
So 2 in every 3 euro allocated to tax cuts is going to the hospitality sector. The remaining 500 million will have to do everything else, which means don't expect any sizable income tax cuts this year. There are definitely question marks, I think, over the reduced tax rates on energy. All in all, the government is going to subsidise one sector at the cost of others. And keep in mind, this isn't something the government's going to be able to easily unwind in the coming years. They tried to do it after they cut the VAT rate to 9% post-recession, and they faced bloody blue murder from the industry every time they went to restore it to 13.5%. So that's a billion euro not only forgone in 2026, but in every year that they keep it in place. Which means if this were to last the lifetime of the government out to 2030, then the tax breaks for the hospitality sector alone would be the equivalent of 2 national children's hospitals. The most inflated project in the history of the state. You'd really have to ask if that is the best use of money at the moment. And I actually don't begrudge the likes of cafes getting a break, but I definitely don't think hotels should be included. I think they've been gouging the public for years and most definitely do not need nor deserve public taxpayers' money, certainly at the level that is being talked about here. The last element I want to talk on is the environment. You might remember under the last government and in the last National Development Plan, there was a commitment to a 2-to-1 spend on public transport versus roads project. With the Greens out, that's now gone in the National Development Plan. It doesn't appear. I did ask what the ratio is now in this plan. Ministers weren't able to say what exactly it's going to be. But Micheál Martin, he was pretty clear in his thoughts.
In terms of the so-called 2-to-1 ratio, I've never been of the view that it's realistic because of the timelines of projects. And so if you're going to sort of with precision try and have a 2-to-1 ratio every single year, it's just unworkable. The obvious illustration of that is the metro. So when the big heavy money gets to be spent on the metro, you'll be looking at 3-4-to-1 in favour of public transport versus roads. And so it will change over the period. The more important point, I think, is to get on with the projects that we've identified that are necessary. Rail projects, bus connects, and roads. We are building roads. Roads environmentally, and this is a point I think that's I would have issues with someone on the environmental side. Roads can be very good for environment. It can be very good for air quality. You talk to the people in Macroom. You talk to any major town that's been bypassed. The congestion alone creates enormous issues in air pollution.
So in short, don't be expecting a bonanza budget this year, regardless of what happens with tariffs. The money going into your pocket will be pretty small compared to the investment on bigger projects and into certain targeted sectors. Maybe that's the right approach. Maybe that's the wise way. Instead of giving a little to a lot of people, give a lot to a little amount of people that might support the economy or keep them going through whatever is to come over the next couple of months and years. But of course, all of this arithmetic could be entirely torn up if Donald Trump takes a hump, hikes the tariff over the next few weeks, and we see a trade war erupt. Whew, pretty grim when you put it like that, isn't it? Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Let Me Explain. Don't forget, if you're at ATN, to check out our live show. It's going to be on the Friday evening of All Together Now. I am Sean Defoe. I will catch you next week on the podcast and, of course, at that live show down in Waterford.